Most people who encounter Jesus begin with some very practical questions. What can Jesus do for me? How can he heal? Can he forgive? Can he help? John in the Gospel of John begins somewhere deeper. Before John ever shows us what Jesus does, he wants us to recognize who Jesus is. John is not writing a biography in the modern sense. He's writing a theological gospel. His concern is not simply that we admire Jesus, but that we recognize him for who he truly is. John wants to shape how we see Jesus before we ever watch him act. And that's why John's gospel, I believe, opens in such a striking way. There's no manger scene, no angels, no shepherds. Instead, John pulls us all the way back to the beginning of everything. Hello, I'm Steve, and welcome. Let's get started. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, it's recorded, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." In the beginning. That takes us all the way back to the first words that we find in Scripture, Genesis 1 and verse 1. John wants his readers to hear creation language. Before Abraham, before Moses, before Israel, before time itself, the Word already existed. John is telling us that the story of Jesus does not start in Bethlehem. It starts before creation. But Genesis is not the only story John is echoing. Through the opening of his gospel, John also draws from Exodus imagery. Creation and Exodus are two of the foundational acts of God in Israel's scriptures, the Old Testament. Creation reveals who God is. Exodus reveals how God makes himself known to his people. John is saying that everything Israel has learned about God through creation and deliverance is now being revealed fully in Jesus. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The term Word would have resonated deeply with John's audience. In the Old Testament, God creates by his Word. God speaks and creation leaps forward. Light appears. Life begins. Chaos gives way to order. God's Word is not just an audible sound. It's action. It's power. It's life. And John tells us three things about the Word. First, the Word already existed. Second, the Word was in relationship with God. And third, the Word was God. John is not describing a created being. He's describing divine identity. And in John 1 and verse 3, it says that through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. Everything that exists owes its existence to the Word. Creation itself flows through him. And then John makes perhaps one of the most astounding claims in all of Scripture. John 1 and verse 14, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth." The eternal Word does not remain distant. He enters human life, human experience. God does not simply speak from heaven. God steps into the story. The phrase "made his dwelling," that recalls the tabernacle. Just as God's presence filled the tent in the wilderness, God's presence now fills a human life in the person of Jesus. Jesus is not merely a messenger from God. He's God's presence among his creation. John 1 and verse 17, it says, "For the law was given through Moses, and grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." This is not a rejection of Moses or the law. It's fulfillment. Moses revealed God's will. Jesus reveals God's heart. John says that no one has ever seen God fully, but Jesus makes him known. In verse 18, no one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father. He has made him known. To see Jesus is to see God. To hear Jesus is to hear God. To encounter Jesus is to encounter the living God. And this sets the stage for everything that's going to follow in John's gospel. John does not leave this theology in the abstract. He shows us how Jesus speaks. In John chapter 8, Jesus is in a tense conversation with religious leaders, and their discussion centers on Abraham and authority. And Jesus says something here that shocks everyone listening. In John 8 and verse 58, Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am." Jesus does not say, "I was." He says, "I am." And this language reaches back to Exodus chapter 3. When Moses encounters God at the burning bush and asks for his name, God responds, "I am who I am." And by using this phrase, Jesus is not merely claiming age or preexistence. He's claiming identity. The reaction of those who heard him confirms this. John 8 and verse 59, they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. See, they understand exactly what Jesus is saying and what he means. Jesus is identifying himself with the God who revealed himself to Moses. Jesus is revealing who he is. He's revealing his true identity. The God who created the heavens and the earth stand before them now. Later in John's gospel, Jesus will say, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd." And those statements are rich with imagery, but they're more than just metaphors. Each one builds on this foundational claim. Before Jesus tells us what he gives, he tells us who he is. Bread gives life because it's the source of light. Light reveals truth because he is truth. The shepherd saves because he's the Lord of Israel. You see, if we miss who Jesus is, we'll misunderstand everything that he does. John is not writing for us to be confused or debate about who Jesus is. He's asking us to believe. And this is why John would later record in chapter 20 and verse 31, "These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." The question is not simply whether Jesus can help us. The question is whether we recognize him. Do we know him? John wants us to see that Jesus is the eternal word, the presence of God among us, the great I am standing in human flesh. And if Jesus truly is the word who was and is God, then Christianity is not primarily about rules or rituals or religious performance. It's about a response. And the proper response to Jesus is not curiosity alone, but trust. Not simply admiration, but allegiance. To follow Jesus is to place our lives under his authority because he's not just a teacher. He's the living God who stepped into our world. Before we ask what Jesus can do for us, we must decide who we believe that he really is. And the answer to that question will shape everything else about our lives.